everybody. I'm doing a solo episode just to kind of, I don't know, just to see how it is, how it goes. We'll see. I don't know if I'm going to be able to fill out an episode by myself, but we shall see. I don't know. It's weird. It's so weird to record an episode by yourself and to fucking sit here by yourself. By yourself and talk to your camera by yourself and look at your face. It's just fucking weird. So I guess I'll just start off with like a little bit about me, I guess, because I feel like a lot of people who there are people like I see like new people who are discovering like my new show. But I also know that I have quite a few listeners who transferred over from the old show. And that means like the world to me very, very much. Like the other podcast was such a labor of love, and I truly loved, you know, doing it. It's just that sometimes, you know, you have, I guess you just you have a different idea of where things are going to go and how they're going to do, and than someone else that you're working with, you know, like that you guys just get, you'll get into different ideas, you'll get into different things, and it's just, that's just what it is. And it's not, you know, there's no bad blood, absolutely fucking not, but you know, things naturally come to an end. Relationships, people outgrow each other. So now here I am by myself, you know, I guess just trying to do my own thing and seeing how that goes. I have had a lot of fun. I've only done 4 episodes so far of this new show, and it's been really fun to sit down and talk to different people. And that was something that I didn't think that I would be able to do, because like I'm very quiet and I'm very, very shy. Like I'm very socially awkward. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like sometimes people will be like, oh my God, I'm so shy. And then they're really not shy. But like I'm very, very shy. Like to sit here right now, like my entire body, even though I'm by myself. And I know that I could say whatever the fuck I want and then cut it out later. But like I all of a sudden get nervous and I'm like, oh my God, am I going to say the wrong thing? Or I'm by myself. Bitch, you're alone. So I don't know. I guess I'm just going to ramble. I'm going to ramble and then see where it fucking goes. And if you guys like it, I'll do more. And if you don't, I'm probably still going to do more, because it's, you know, I guess I don't know. I literally hate when people are loud outside. And I know they're allowed to be loud. Like you're allowed. You are allowed to be loud. Okay. But I don't know. I get irritated. I get irritated very, very quickly, about it, because I'm just kind of like, because I'm quiet. I'm a very quiet person. And I move quietly. I walk quietly. Everything I do is quietly, because I'm trying not to disturb other people at all times. Don't know why I'm like that. I mean, I know why I'm like that. But like, I don't really know why I'm still like that. And it's just not necessary for me to do that. So if you guys can't tell already from the episodes that you've listened to, and for those who listen to the other show, like you guys very much know that I'm a very spiritual person. And it kind of came about through... It came about through, unfortunately, discovering the person that I thought was a really good guy was not. But it's okay. It happens, right? It happens to the best of us. No hate, no shade to him. But I found out through like a psychic reading. And it's one of those things where you have a reading or you get readings. Like I feel like a lot of people have like gone to like a fair, or they've gone to, or they've driven past somewhere where they were outside, there's a psychic, and you go, oh, let me go inside. Or you decided to get a reading, or you call the hotline or something. I feel like some people, you know, people will have their own situations with people who either really legitimately are psychic or claim that they're psychic. And so a lot of times, like, I feel like unless you have had experiences and you've had like legitimate readings and you've had readings that just kind of blow you out of the water, I feel like it's one of those things that for a lot of people, they're very skeptical of it. And I understand it completely. Like I completely and totally understand why people are skeptical, because of course, like the idea that somebody has these otherworldly abilities in real life and not on the TV, and they're able to tell you what these otherworldly beings, you know, it's a whole wonderful thing. And so it's just kind of, I don't know. I understand why for a lot of people it's a little bit too much. But I had Siga on, and she does readings, and I've had Spiritual Cowboy Girl, aka Ryan, and they do readings. And so that's something that's always kind of going to be a part of the podcast. It's not going to be every episode. It's not going to be every person that I interview, obviously, but it is going to be a big part of the show, because it's a big part of who I am. And it's something that, honestly, without being dramatic, like it saved my life. Like it's something that, gosh, I don't know. Like if I think about where I was before and my frame of mind and how I operated and the amount of pain that I just like carried inside of me at all times and how much how much pain I was in always. And I think that, I don't know. It's just, I don't even remember what I was saying because I have no one to fucking keep me on track because I'm by myself. So get ready for that to happen too. But I'm, you know, editing is wonderful. It's a wonderful fucking tool. But how I had gotten into spirituality was my mom's pretty spiritual. She's pretty, you know, she's religious and spiritual. So she had gotten a reading from this woman. Her name is Courtney Levins. And so she had discovered her. I forgot how she discovered her, but she discovered her and had gotten a few readings. And in like 2017, I decided, you know what? I'm going to get a reading. I got a little mini reading for $80. And I was like, you know, I got it, but I got it with the idea of being hopeful. But at the time, it was more so, I don't know if what she's saying is true. So let me not, like, I don't know. Oh, I don't know if this is true or not. I don't know if this is real. So let me not put too much into it. So I really went into it looking for fun and just kind of like a fun thing to do. And it's like, if she's accurate, then awesome. And if she's not, like, that's okay too, because I'm still having a good time. And that was in 2017. It's now 2023, almost 2024. And she's accurate. Like, she's on the fucking money. Like, she's has such an incredible gift. But I'd gotten a reading with her back in 2017. And then obviously during the lockdown, right, like everyone's kind of questioning their life and where it's going to go. And I know that I personally had a moment where I was 27, about to turn 28. And I was like, fuck, like I'm turning 28 years old. Like, what have I done with my life? Like, I've been miserable and depressed and suicidal for most of it. So like, how the fuck, like what is my life even going to be? Like, how am I even going to function? Like what's going on? And I was like, I'm just getting older. And I had this moment of panic because I was about to turn 28 years old, and it didn't last very long. It was very, very quick, but I was able to go, wait a minute, hold on. Yeah. Like, I am getting older. I'm a grown woman and I can do whatever the fuck I want. And lives are being changed because of this horrible virus. So like, what do I want to do with myself? What do I want to do with my life? That reading was always in the back of my mind, and some of the things that she told me are very much in line with what I'm doing now. And so it's just kind of like, so I was like, okay, you know what? Let me try it. Let me see. And so I just started the other podcast with my other friend, and I had a, I don't know. I think I had a particular situation that I wasn't sure about, and I got pregnant, y'all. I don't even know why I'm sitting here trying to front. Your girl was having a little bit too much fun. Well, I mean, I was on birth control, but like, you know, I had gotten sick. Okay. Rewind. I have a very sensitive stomach. Like, I have a very sensitive stomach, and I love coffee. I love the way it tastes, but it's like, it does not love me back. It's like, I'm in an abusive relationship with fucking coffee. Because if I drink too much of it, like I will be sick. Like I will, and it's not even just like, oh, I shit myself, or oh, I gotta poop. Like, oh, because you know, it's a natural laxative or whatever. But like, it's not even like that. Like, I will literally be so uncomfortable and in so much pain. And like, I had drank coffee on an empty stomach, like a fucking idiot. Drink coffee on an empty stomach. And then after drinking coffee on an empty stomach, all I ate after drinking the coffee were pistachios. And then didn't eat anything else. And then I was in the middle of doing my hair, and I just started projectile vomiting, and I was sick for like the next like 24 hours. And then from like May until probably September, May 2020 to September 2020, October 2020, I was like sick, like on a regular basis. Like, I couldn't really eat. Like, I lost like 30 pounds. I looked good. I mean, I'm skinnier now, but like I looked good. And so I was throwing up and having diarrhea and just very, very sick. And it would just come kind of sporadically. And so obviously if you're regularly throwing up, your birth control is not going to, too soon after, your birth control is not going to do its job. So I had gotten a reading about a particular situation, about what I should do and how it was going to go, and da da da. Obviously I'm childless. So, and I make jokes about abortions all the time. And I think that that's something that people, obviously some people are very sensitive about it, and I get it, but I'm not one of those people, and I'm a bitch who doesn't take anything seriously. So I'm going to crack a jokey joke. And so, you know, I always say we keep our appointments in this house. So I had gotten a reading from her during that time, and then I had gotten another reading because something just told me to get a reading. It was just like this, like, get a reading. I was getting readings a lot. And I was like, all right, let me get another reading. And so she did. She read me and she kind of told me about this person that I was involved with. And, you know, and at first I didn't believe it because it didn't sound like the person that I knew. And so I didn't ignore it. It was always in the back of my head, but I didn't really do anything about it. Like, I just kind of was like, all right, well, I'm not seeing this. I don't really know. I don't, like, it was a lot. It was a whole thing. And so it wasn't until probably about 6 to 7 months after that reading that I realized that everything that she said was like spot the fuck on, like to the point where it was scary. Like, I don't even know why I made that noise. That's not a noise of being scared. Anyway. And so I was like, oh fuck, this shit is fucking real. I was like, holy fucking shit, this is real. Angels are real. Psychics are real. Oh my fucking goodness, everything is fucking real. So I just, it completely and totally transformed my life. Obviously, I had to like go through the pain and go through the heartbreak of loving someone for so long and then discovering that they were not who you thought they were. But, you know, I am so grateful. I'm so incredibly grateful because it completely and totally changed my life and it brought me to where I am now. And I don't think I would have the confidence to be doing what I'm doing if I didn't understand that I had a whole crew of beings who love and support me and are here to make sure that I do and get what the fuck I want, you know. But I think that sounds kind of, you know, lame to say it like that, but you know, the whole crew of people, whole crew of beings trying to make sure. And so it sparked a whole journey for me where I kind of realized, oh my god, oh okay, like I have this new understanding of the universe that I live in and what that means. And there's so many things that I don't know. And so I just went on this like journey of like discovery and trying to figure shit out. And I was reading all these books and watching all these videos and listening to people talk and sitting in on, you know, different things. And so that really just brought me here, and it brought me here to where I am now, which, I mean, I guess it's not really like, I mean, I'm still podcasting and I'm still, you know, depressed. Well, not depressed, but, you know, I'm still mentally ill. But it has completely and totally just changed my life and the way that I view life and the way that I want to move through life. I don't know how to describe it, but that's why I'm so spiritual. That's why it's going to be a part of every single episode. And it's why it's something that's always going to fucking come out of my mouth because it's such a big part of me. It has become such a big part of me, especially in like developing like spiritual gifts. And like, I don't hate the term psychic, but I feel like it has negative connotations, but a bitch is fucking psychic. And it's just, I don't know. It's just my whole life is just different. My whole world is different. And so like, I just talk about it constantly because it's like, oh my God, I'm one of them people. I'm like a Jehovah's Witness at your door. Like, have you learned that you're a soul in a meat suit? Do you know about the other side? Do you know about the spirit world? Do you know about spirit guides? Do you know about crystals? Do you know about all this shit? Do you know about reincarnation? You know, like, I'm just fucking disturbing people's peace, like, you know, all about it. But I'm so, it's just something that, I don't know, but it's something that's very important to me and it's very much a part of who I am. And so it's going to be something that I'm going to talk about like a lot. Okay. I'm going to talk about it a lot. I have my little sparkling water. It's not very sparkling because it's been sitting here for a minute, but can you hear that? Can you hear the fizz? It's giving ASMR. So I guess now that I've been on the track and talking about like spiritual shit and spiritual things, I had seen this video of this woman and I didn't get her name, but I just kept seeing the video like circulating, and I've seen multiple people like repost it and like talk about it. But it's this beautiful black woman and I think she has a head wrap on. I don't remember, but it's this just gorgeous woman and she's sitting here. I mean, her looks aren't important. I don't even know why. I guess it's one of those things where it's like, I want to be complimentary, but at the same time, after I say it, it's like, why is that necessary to the story? Like, if she wasn't physically attractive, does that give her less value? Absolutely fucking not. But I do want to, like, it's like you want to give people their flowers because, whoa, she's gorgeous. Anyway, so she was in this video and she's just saying, you know, when people have spiritual gifts, like, don't play with them. Like, don't, if you know that somebody has spiritual gifts and they have a strong feeling, a strong knowing, if they can see, I wish I could remember her fucking name. And oh gosh, I'm going to have to tag it. If I post this clip online, I'll tag it. But she was just talking about how if you know that somebody has spiritual gifts, leave them alone. Like, if you're not going to be honest, if you're going to be full of shit, if you're not going to come correct, don't come at all. And it just made me laugh. And it's so true. Cause like, I will tell people, like, if I meet a new person, that is one of the first things that I will tell you is, hey, you know, sometimes I have dreams and I will see things in my dreams and I will be told things in my dreams, or I'll just have a really strong knowing. I'll just know something, or I'll get a flash in my head and I'll just see something. So I'm telling you to give you the opportunity to go, oh, okay. If I'm up to no good and this bitch is having dreams and having not just dreams, but she's getting flashes in her head and she just knows things, right? Let me back away. And that's why I tell people, because I'm letting you know right now, but like, I'm not the person to try to get one over on or to fuck with or to lie to, because I'm going to know. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's weird. It's a weird thing to be able to do, but it's just kind of like, I'm going to know. So don't fuck with me. Like, if you're on some bullshit and if you're not going to be honest, if you're not being honest about who you are and what your intentions are, I'm going to fucking know, dude. You know? And it's just, I don't fucking know. And it's just kind of like, if somebody tells you that they're psychic without using the word psychic, like, just, you know, don't learn the hard way that they're telling the truth. Don't learn by getting caught up, you know, that they're telling the truth. Just believe them. So if somebody says to you, hey, I have dreams and I see things in my dreams, or I just know things sometimes, or sometimes I'll just hear someone say something and I'll hear it, right? Don't find out the hard way that they're not full of shit. Don't find out the hard way. Just, if someone says that to you, and whether or not you believe them or not, if you have ill intentions, just back the fuck away, right? Just back up. Just go, not for me, right? Just go, But like, it is fun, and it is something that, like, I've recently... Well, it's one of those things where it's like, these are things that I've known that I've been able to do since I was a child. But it's one of those things where until you have like concrete proof that what you're doing is legit, you kind of just push it aside and you don't really think about it. Or like, you'll have a dream and not really think too much about it. And you kind of just go and do whatever. And, or like, if you have feelings, like, you ignore them or whatever. So like, for me right now, it's all very new. It's so like incredibly new. It's not new, but it's new. It's recognizing what it is new. And sitting in it is new, but not the ability to, you know, to do it. So I've been in the process of like growing my spiritual abilities and trying to, you know, have a little bit more control over it. Because it's not something that I personally can control. Like, I'll just know things. It'll just come to me. Name of the podcast. It'll come to me. And or I'll dream about it, or there have been times where I've heard a voice in my head, or I physically have heard something. There was a particular instance where I had, without going into too much detail, I was about to go somewhere with somebody, and prior to them taking me where we were going to go, they were up to no good, and I heard it in my ear. Well, not in my ear. It's more so like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like, from the back of your neck, dude. Like, it's like the equivalent. The best way that I could describe it is like somebody has their hand on their shoulder, on your shoulders, and they're not whispering in your ear, but they're whispering to the back of your head. And then it's like you hear it in the back of your head and it travels to the front of your head. I don't know how to fucking describe it. That's like the best way that I could describe it. It's like it slingshots from the back of your head to the front of your head, and you hear it's like it echoes in your head as clear as day. And so it had echoed in my head as clear as day that this person had just done something that was not good. And I found out years later that I was indeed fucking correct on that. I was spot on the money. So it's just kind of like when you have these moments, you don't, you'll push them off or you'll dismiss yourself. Oh, I'm paranoid. Oh, I'm crazy. Oh, I'm just anxious or I'm projecting. And it's like, no, girl, you're not. You're not projecting it. You are experiencing a gift from the fucking universe. I don't know. I know I sound like I drink bong water, but like, and you should not do that. I don't think you should do that. I feel like that's not going to get you high. It's just going to get you sick. But I know how it sounds. I know how I sound. I probably sound like a person who was just like a bit crazy and ranting. Actually, you know what? Let me fucking drink this. Hold on. The fizz. Oh, the fizz, the fizz, the fizz. Oh, God. Oh, God. So inappropriate and disgusting. It's not disgusting. It's a natural bodily function, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's a little bit rude, you know, to burp like that. Oh my fucking God, no, my eyes are watering. But the sparkling water was flavored and my mouth, I can feel my mouth getting dry because like when I get like a little bit nervous, my mouth gets dry. So I wanted to pop gum in my mouth, but like I knew that it wouldn't taste good with the flavoring of the sparkling water. Woo. But anyway. Just like that, I forgot what I was fucking saying. Just like that. How quick is that? But just, yeah, essentially, like, if you know that you're up to no good. Video of that man that, like, it's like turned into a meme. And I think he might be Jamaican or he has a very island accent. And he's like, you cannot trick me, you know? And, like, I'll jokingly call myself Miss Cleo. And I think it's funny because of the scandal. But then I watched the documentary about her on HBO Max. And I forgot what it was called. I'm actually going to look it up right now because what do we have? Technology. And what do? We use it. What is it? Miss Cleo documentary. It's called Call Me Miss Cleo on HBO Max. I don't know. It's kind of fucked up how they made her seem like she was like this like scammer person. But it really was. She was just the face of a company, a corporation. And it was a whole fucking thing. And I feel like she got like the flack of it because she was the face of it, but she wasn't the one doing the dirt. So now I wonder, like, was she really an intuitive? I don't remember if she was really intuitive or really psychic, but I'll joke around and I'll call myself Miss Cleo or I'll say I'm having a Miss Cleo moment because I just will pick up on shit anyway. But you cannot trick me. I mean, you might be able to. I don't fucking know. And it might happen. It might happen. But for the most part, you cannot fucking trick me, mate. You can't fucking trick me. And I don't know why. I just slipped into an accent. I'm getting a little bit more comfortable on camera by myself. But kind of growing new spiritual abilities, not growing, but like being aware of the spiritual abilities that already existed in this body, in this vessel. It's one of those things where it's just, it's wild and it's very fun and it's very exciting. Like I'll have like recently I had a bit of a lesson, right? And it's something that in the past would have just probably got me really upset. But instead, even though, you know, maybe I was a little bit bummed, but like, it's one of those things where instead of like being devastated, I was so excited. I was like, oh my fucking God, I was spot on. I felt it. I saw it. I dreamt it. I knew I felt like it was just one of those things where it's like, even though the situation wasn't what I thought it would be, it was so much better because it was so much more because I was able to like really fucking realize, oh my fucking God, like you have this very, you're very intuitive and you're very on the money. And so I don't know how to describe it. And I feel like I'm just kind of rambling a bit about it. Like, I feel like I'm very much in a ramble right now. I did eat an edible. I ate a 10 milligram Emerald Sky Reese's fucking peanut butter cup, not Reese's, but it actually, they're really fucking good. And like, they're so good that it's troubling. Like it doesn't taste like weed at all. Like, and I don't mind the weed taste. It doesn't bother me. But like sometimes things will taste very strongly of weed and it's kind of like, oh, like it is very good. It is very delicious and very chocolatey. And it's kicked in. It's kicked in. I've gotten very loose. I'm very, very loose right now. But yeah, like growing your spiritual abilities, I don't know. It's just, it's very exciting. It's very, very, very exciting. And like, if you know me, like if you, especially if you listen to the old show, like I'm a nosy bitch. I'm nosy. I'm nosy as fuck. And it's one, and I'm not nosy because like I want to tell people, like I'm the type of person that you can trust with your secrets. Like I'm very much a secret keeper. I'm very much somebody who will take shit to the fucking grave and beyond the grave and into my next lifetime. Like I'm very good at shutting the fuck up. And so it's just like this nosiness, and it's not to gossip, it's not to talk about it, but it's genuine curiosity about people. And like, I want to know everything all the fucking time, like constantly. Like I joked before, like, you know, like those fables where it's like, oh my God, okay, so you can have all the knowledge at all times, but if you want to fucking, but be careful, because if you take in too much knowledge, then your head will get too big and you'll have to carry it around in a wheelbarrow, and you're going to see me. You'll see me physically. I don't know if this will pick up on the other mic, but I'm moving around. I'm getting very animated. So that's just, I'll bring it with me. I will literally, no, I thought Amazon, I mean, no disrespect to Amazon, but this fucking stand, I need to get a new one. But if like a wizard came to me and was like, okay, look, you can have the capacity to pull in all of the knowledge, everything, all knowledge, you can pull it in. But the thing is that the more knowledge you pull in, the bigger your head is going to get. And the bigger your head gets, like, I don't know, girl, you're on your own with having to figure out how to pull that shit around. But you will literally catch me in a wheelbarrow with my head, like, I'm gonna ring the mic with me because I'm recording on my computer. Ah, maybe I'm not. You'll just have to hear it. I don't know, we'll see how the audio sounds. I will literally be rolling with my head in a wheelbarrow. I will literally push my own head in a wheelbarrow. That is like my thirst for knowledge and my thirst for nosiness is to such an extreme that if I was in a fable and a wizard said, yeah, you can have all the knowledge, but like your head's going to get too fucking big and it's going to be too heavy for you to carry, I'm making it work. I'm pushing it around town. I'm going to be a wheelbarrow bitch because like, I don't, like, that's just what's going to happen. So like I'm a very nosy person. I want to know everything I always want to know shit, right? And so like it's a little bit exciting to like, it also fucking sucks. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's one of those things where it's like a double-edged sword. Is that the right statement to use, a double-edged sword? I don't know. But it's just one of those things where it's really great because I'm very curious, but also, you know, you want to meet new people, you want to interact with people, you want to, you know, maybe you want to date, and it's just kind of like, oh, now I know too much about you. Now I know too much. But it also, that's actually a good thing, especially when it comes to dating, especially for somebody who dated somebody who was engaged to somebody who was not who I thought they were. So actually, maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing at all. Let's reframe a negative statement into a positive one right there. Because I was just like, oh, well, that kind of fucking sucks, because then you see people for who they are. But yeah, like, you should see people for who they are, because they are, you know, people be doing some shit. And it's not their fault, right? They can't help it. I did it so I wouldn't have the bottle on camera. And then I still poured on camera. Anyway, I feel very loose. This edible has kicked the fuck in. I'm telling you that shit right fucking right now. Woo. But anyway, I don't know. It's exciting. It is cool to kind of like pick things up about people. Never anything that oversteps, but like, well, sometimes maybe it does. But I mean, I guess your secrets are safe with me, rat vibes. Like, I feel like now I'm sitting here like high and confessing. But I feel like, voice crack, wow. But I feel like you can take comfort in knowing that your secrets are safe with me, because I, you know, I don't know why I fucking, that was not the right, it's this. Oh, you know, I'm trying to fucking move the the thing around to be like in a more like comfortable position. Is that better? Is that good? But the thing is like, I don't want to be too far from the mic, but I don't want to be too close to the mic either, especially because of the mouth noises that it picks up on. And like, I feel like a lot of people, unless you have like misophonia, like you're not going to really like pick up on it. But when I'm editing, I'm going to be pissed the fuck off at myself. So I'm trying to find the right fucking position. But like, your secrets are safe with me. So like, don't get scared. Don't like, I feel like now I'm like, I'm talking about it and I'm like, fuck, like, people are going to be like, I don't want to talk to her. Like, I don't want to be anywhere near her. Your secrets are safe with me. But it's just, I don't know. But like, I had walked into this space, a new space that I'd never been before. And when I walked in there, I just felt, it made me feel so, I felt sad. Like I felt really sad. And I couldn't really figure out. I was like, what is that? Am I feelings about something from the past? Am I triggered by something? And I couldn't figure out why. And I couldn't figure out why it felt like, I don't know. I felt like this like sensation of heartbreak. Like this, not like heartbreak, but just like, I don't know. I just felt sad. Like I felt the energy of this, but this person in this space was very sad. There was a lot of sadness in the walls of the space that I had, this new space that I had been in. And I could feel it. And it's just one of those things where you just want to hug people and you want to give them all the love in the world because you can feel that they aren't feeling it for themselves, or that they've gone through things that have changed them in some way, or that they're currently in this like self-destructive cycle. And maybe they were more self-destructive in the past. Like maybe they were dealing with addiction issues or, you know, other things. But it's just kind of one of those things. And that is one of the, I'm going to get emotional. Not me crying over a stranger. Oh God, no, I'm wearing makeup. Don't cry. Do not cry. You are wearing makeup. Do not fucking cry, bitch. Oh my goodness. I am ridiculous. I can't. Oh my God. Hold on. Whew. I'm going to take some water. Whew. See, I'm feeling the emotions that I felt. But it's just sad when you just want to hug somebody because you know that they're going through something or that they are in this cycle or in this loop. And as somebody who's been in a loop, right, as somebody who has experienced a lot of negative emotions and a lot of negative feelings and a lot of negative experiences in the past, it's like, you know, I don't know. It's like, you know, when somebody is going through something that you've gone through. Maybe that's why I could feel it so strongly, because it was like whenever I thought of this person or the situation, it was like this feeling in my body, like I was being transported to me 10 years ago. And I think about me 10 years ago and the path that I was on and the shit that I was doing and the behaviors that I exhibited, that's how you get around not being able to pronounce something, change the word up, just change the sentence structure. With the behaviors that I was exhibiting at the time, it's like, I don't know. It just makes you sad. It makes you sad because you can feel what that person is going through. And it's even more sad when you don't know them well enough or you can tell they're not going to be receptive to it. And you can tell that they have like walls up and they have a moat up and there's alligators in the fucking moat. But it is one of those things where like you meet somebody or like you can feel it. And it's just kind of like, you just want to give them all the love in the world and you want to give them all the hugs in the world and you want to give them all the kisses in the world and you want to make them feel as special as possible because like, you know how they feel internally. Or you know that they've gone through some fucking shit and they just need some like tender love, like just, you know, just they need love, they need healing. And it's just one of those things where I didn't know this person well enough to sit down and really talk to them about it and about what I was feeling. But it is one of those things where it's like, I wish that I could have been, you know, I don't know. I'm in my feelings about it, but like, I don't know. I think it's just one of those things where when you go through something and you know how it feels to go through something that's like not the best, right? And you know those negative feelings and how it feels, and how it feels so incredibly overwhelming, and those nights where you break the fuck down and it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing. It's not embarrassing, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's embarrassing, but it's not embarrassing at the same fucking time because it's normal, but it is still embarrassing because people are going to judge you for it, right? And so it's like, you know how it feels to be in that situation and to feel alone and to just feel like shit. Like, you know how it feels. And so when you know that somebody is going through something that you felt before, and you know how isolating it is, and you know how painful it is, but you don't know them well enough to really get in there and help them or really get in there and talk to them about it, it's just like, that's heartbreaking. Like, that is heartbreaking. And I think that that's one of the things about having like a spiritual gift is like, that sucks, is being able to feel how bad somebody else feels, and to not, and it doesn't feel bad to feel how they feel, but it feels bad to feel how they feel and know that you can't do anything, and to know that you can't really help them, and to know that they probably won't even be receptive to you helping them, or, you know, or it's not that it's not their time, or it's just what, you know, it's a whole thing, and it's just heartbreaking. But I am very excited, and this is the whole conversation just got so caught off track, but like, I am very, very excited about my little spiritual gifts that I've been developing. And, you know, I don't know. I'm very excited. I don't think anyone else cares. But if you are on a spiritual journey, or if you are trying to grow psychic abilities, let me know. DM me at Taylorina Murphy on Instagram. You know, it'll come to me podcast, actually. It's probably a better one. Enough about that. And about, that's kind of sad and depressing. Let's not be sad and depressing right now. Let's be happy. But yeah, I just got an email from something. Okay, this is what we're talking about. It was something that they had said to me about something, and I got an email about it. And so it's one of those things where it's like, this shit's fucking real, bitch. So I'm very excited right now. You are witnessing a moment of like pure joy, because it's one of those fucking moments where I was told something and I got a little email about it. Very, very exciting. And I was, oh goodness gracious. I love that. Very, very excited. Like, it's one of those things where, oh my goodness. Like, you are, I've literally been ranting about spirituality and all this kind of shit for, I don't even know how fucking long. And I just had a moment, an experience. So you can see the joy, the elation. You can see the elation in my face and how excited I am about something. Because it was something that I was told about, something that I talked, oh God, let's not even get there. Anyway. Let's get on with the show. Oh, goodness. I'm very, see, exciting. See, this shit's fucking real. The spiritual shit is fucking real. You see the joy? But anyway, it's like, I'm so excited. It's one of those moments, like, I'm literally like, and it's more than just the email that I received. It's also like what that means and the bigger picture of it and the bigger journey of my life. So I'm very, I'm very, very excited. Oh God. Woo. Angels are real, bitch. Your spirit guides are real. Okay. And they're listening. They're listening. Anyway. So let me get back to it. Let me just talk about some other shit. Let's move on from the spiritual stuff and talk about, ooh. Well, I said damn, I took a picture. Okay, this is gonna sound so conceited. I took a picture of myself. I'm under good lighting and I have makeup on, so it's like, you know, I'm a very beautiful woman. And so I'd taken a selfie and I was like, damn, like, I'm fine as fuck. And I know that makes people cringe, but it's like, does it make you cringe because you don't feel that way about yourself? Because you should, regardless of what you look like. You should be so excited and so happy to look at yourself and people go, oh, it's narcissistic. You guys never met a real narcissist, because real narcissists are not into themselves like that. They're fucking not. They hate themselves. Anyway, sorry for any narcissists listening. No offense. But the insecurities are very, very strong, and they are there. What am I doing? I am downloading an app that I deleted off my phone, right? I deleted it off my phone for some strange fucking reason. And now I got to re-download it. So that's what I'm doing. But anyway, while that's downloading, but I will kind of continue on the spiritual shit. So it's like one of the gifts that I have isn't just the dreams or, you know, hearing things every once in a while or just like the strong feeling. It's like I can look at somebody and kind of know what's going on in their life, or knowing what kind of person they are. But like I'll use Tinder or like a dating app as an example. All right. I just mentioned narcissists. I know it's a buzzword right now that people are using. And I don't really even think it's a buzzword. I think it's something because a lot of people have experiences with narcissistic people. And it's like excluding those who are probably more on the sociopathic scale and who actually hurt people and harm people beyond, you know, just like being like irritating or annoying or whatever. I'm not speaking specifically about those people in those instances, but there's a lot of narcissistic people that are, you know, they're harmless. And like, I'm not trying to sympathize with somebody who has potential victims. I think that's what I'm trying. It's not funny. I can't take shit seriously. And I'm going over my words. But it's like, I'm not trying to sympathize with somebody who has victimized somebody to the beyond the point of being able to ever recover from it. Like, that's not like, I know that there are narcissists who have really, really fucked people's lives. I've been with one. Like, you know, like I know how it is. But I also know that there are narcissistic people who, you know, it's just a coping mechanism from the trauma that they've gone through. And we've all, you know, not all of us, you lucky bastards. But like, you know, we've all gone through trauma. We've all gone through bullshit that has affected us. So it's like we all cope in the ways, the best ways that we know how, right? So no shade to those harmless narcissistic people. But like one of the first spiritual gifts that I've noticed was like when I was single, I'm still single now, by the way. But like when I first became single after, you know, a very long time, I had gone back on like Tinder, I'd gone back on the apps, and like I'm swiping and I'm looking at these people and I'm like, not that they're unattractive, like they're very physically attractive. It's just, I'm looking at them and I'm looking at their eyes and I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't know what I'm seeing, but I know that I'm seeing something, right? And so, now I can look at somebody, not all the time. There are sometimes people who might get slipped through the cracks, but like I can look at somebody and know that they're a narcissist, or know that they're I don't want to say sociopath. I feel like they're a sociopath. I'm just going to fucking say that. Like they have ASPD, antisocial personality disorder, or that they, you know, but then it's also that I also now I'm able to kind of see trauma in people's eyes too. And I saw a picture of myself that made me go, God damn. Because I could see it in my own eyes and in pictures of myself. And so it's like when I look at somebody's eyes, I can recognize that they're a narcissist, or if they have antisocial personality disorder, or they could be a psychopath. Psychopaths, I don't like looking at their eyes. No one does. But like, it's a very unsettling feeling, and it's very uncomfortable, and it's very just like, I don't even want to get into it. And then I would see people's eyes and kind of get concerned. And then I can see trauma in people's eyes. I can kind of see like what's kind of going on with them. And I could see if they have addictions. I could see addiction. I could see depression, obviously, you know, mental illness. I can see it, and I can tell when someone's lying and when they're pretending. And it's just one of those things where it's just kind of like, oh fuck. Like I see you, bitch. Like I see you. Like I see who you are. And I'm not judging for who you are. People can't help who they are and what goes on in the vessel that they occupy. But like, it is kind of interesting to be able to see that in somebody. It's very interesting. But like, being able to see that in people's eyes is like, it's not fun, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's protective, and I love that. Now I can kind of avoid being in certain situations that I don't want to be in. But like, it is crazy, like when you're swiping on a dating app and being able to kind of see people and like look through their eyes, it's like, fuck, dude. Okay, ladies and theys, ladies, gays, theys and thems, actually everybody, if you are on, I mean, actually, I can only go based off of the men that I've seen. So if you date men, if you fuck with people who are assigned male at birth, and actually, well, I can see it in anybody's eyes, not just men. So everybody, but I'm speaking specifically, I know specifically about men on dating apps because I am a woman who is, you know, matching with men on dating apps. Let me tell you something, girls. And they, anyone who fucks with men, anyone who fucks anybody. All right, be very careful. Be very, very careful on dating apps, because one of the things that has made me go with them, one of the things, just be careful on dating apps, because one of the things that took the fun out of apps is my spiritual gifts. And it's a great thing. It's not necessarily taking the fun out of it. It's protecting me. But like, when I say every other, if not, well, maybe like every two people, every other person maybe that I'm seeing on these apps, maybe it's just because I live in LA, right? But like, there are people that I'm seeing, and it's a lot of them. In fact, it's a majority of the people that I'm seeing on these apps, not a majority, but a high percentage of people, maybe 50, maybe like half the people that I see on the app. Let's just say half the people that I'm seeing on these apps have serious, serious, serious emotional issues, and not emotional issues from the state of like, where people are going to hear me say this and be like, oh, well, you know, everyone needs love and everyone da, da, da. Absolutely. I am somebody with serious emotional issues. I was in therapy for 6 years. I took medication for longer. You know, I'm very mentally ill. I'm autistic. I have ADHD. Like, I am very aware of how mental issues impact your life, but I'm also very aware of how you need to do the fucking work and not take that out on the people around you. And I'm seeing people who I can tell will abuse the fuck out of you and drain the fuck out of you and are not good people. I shouldn't say like that, because they could be good people, but just be making the bad choices, you know, because they're trying to self-soothe. But like, there are a lot of people on apps that are just trying to self-soothe, and they don't care about you, and they don't care about what they do to you, and they don't care about how their actions make you feel, because all they care about is soothing whatever pain that they feel inside. And so just be very careful. Be very careful on the apps. Just be careful. There are a lot of narcissists on dating apps, a lot of them, and it makes sense, right? It's easy access, easy supply, but just be so careful and educate yourselves on the signs, because they're really, really out there. And if you don't have the ability to see it when you look at somebody, give yourself the ability to know it, because you've educated yourself on the signs and the behaviors and all that kind of stuff and the things that they say and the things that they do. Because, woo, and maybe because I live in LA, I don't know. That could have a big part of it, big thing to do with it. But like, let me tell you something. Those apps. Well, you know what? It's not even because I've had times where I've had Tinder goals in the past and I was able to kind of move around and globally hop. Some of them, man, dude. Oh, they're fine. But it's global. It's not just in LA. It's everywhere. The apps, just be careful. Just be careful. So I talked about before in the beginning of the episode how I'm very shy. Like, I'm not, I mean, I'm shy. I'm not super shy, but I am. Well, I'm shy. And I don't know if it's like a shyness, if it's like social anxiety, but then if it's autism, because I am autistic. So I'm like, I don't fucking know. But like, I am very shy. So like, I don't always talk. You know, when I meet people, I'm very, very quiet. But lately, I've been kind of using that to my advantage and letting people talk. Let people talk. Let them talk. You don't always have to just listen to people, because they'll tell on themselves. If you listen closely, if you use those beautiful ears of yours, people will tell on themselves. Just listen. Just sit there quietly. Look at my feet. It's giving feet finder. I mean, I'm only recording for the clip, so this will not be a clip. But like, it's really giving feet finder right now. And look at them soles, dude. I got big ass feet. I mean, I'm 5'8". I'm a big bitch. Like, I'm not tiny in any way, shape, or form. Like, I am 5'8", 222 pounds probably now. I don't know. Last time I weighed myself, I keep track. Hold on. As of September 20th, so as of 9 days ago. So yeah, I was right. But like, I'm not tiny. Like, I weigh 220 pounds. Like, I'm not a small woman. I'm 5'8". I got big ass feet. But so I have a tendency to be really quiet when I meet new people, because one, like, I, especially now, like, discovering that I was autistic was like one of those things. And I had an interview on Wednesday with one of my friends. Hey, Kelly. Hey, girl. And we sat there and we were talking, and she was asking about like autism, and she was like, so like, you seem normal to me. What is autism? Like, what is that? And like, I don't know how to explain what goes on in my head. I mean, I guess you guys can do your research and like, or look at the quizzes and maybe take a quiz, maybe discover something about yourself. I don't know. But like, I don't know how to explain what kind of goes on in my own head, but like, I am a very quiet person, and sometimes I have a hard time speaking. It's literally like physically, it's not as bad as it used to be, but like, I will physically be unable to speak. Like, it's more than just being shy. It's like, I will want to talk and I'll have the conversation going in my head, but physically, like, I can't, like, and it only happens sometimes, or it happens when I meet new people, or when I'm kind of uncomfortable and unsure. But the reason why that kind of happens is because, like, just from being shy, but also because, like, I'm very, like, I'm a very intense person. My personality is very intense. I come on very strong, not all the time, but like, I come on very strong. I'm very, you know, and I get comfortable with people, and I have no fucking filter. If I'm comfortable, I have no filter. So it's just kind of like, I have a tendency to say shit that's just kind of off the wall, or being intuitive. And especially before, when I didn't know that I was picking up on shit, like, I would have interactions with people, and like, I would pick up on something, or I would talk to them in a certain way, or just whatever, and they would have a really negative reaction to it because I was outing something that was secret to them. But I didn't know that that's what I was doing. I just knew that I was just trying to have a conversation. I don't know where I'm going with this. But it's like, so that is something that I've always kind of struggled with. But now I'm trying to take I'm taking advantage of it, because when you just sit quietly and you listen to people, and you hear how the things that they say and the stories that they tell, like, they will, you know, they will, they'll tell on themselves. People will tell on themselves if you're quiet enough to listen to them tell on themselves. And so, like, I will just kind of sit, when I meet new people, I have a tendency to just kind of sit very quiet. I might not show you or tell you or whatever. I'll be very self-contained. I'm very self-contained anyway, but like, I'll just be very self-contained, and I will sit there and I will listen to you, and I will just feel your energy and feel what you're, and take what you're saying and how it feels when you say it, and whether it feels like the truth, whether it feels like a lie, whether it feels like, if there's a level of, I don't know. I will sit there and listen. And so if you meet me and I'm quiet, I'm either pissing myself about what to say, or I'm analyzing you, and I'm trying to see who you are. I'm trying to get a feel for who you are, because people will talk and people will say, it's very much like, look over here. What's going on over here? Don't look over here, but look over here. And so if you're creating the show to the left, I'm looking to the right to see what the fuck, what's going on behind the curtain. You know what I mean? That's why I'm very quiet when I meet new people. So that was something that was always like a negative about myself. And I guess maybe because some people might still be a negative, but for me, it's a positive because now I'm taking that moment and going, okay, if I'm quiet, my body's telling me to be quiet for a reason. Let me get a feel. Let me take a moment and use this time where I'm really quiet and get a feel for who this person is and if what they're saying is true and you know, all that kind of stuff. But also, I'm also quiet because I'm very intense. And even if I'm trying to get a feel for you because I can't get a feel for you, or because I don't want to say the wrong thing. And like I talked about it on the episode with Ryan where we just make fucking bad jokes. Like I was talking to somebody that I had met. And sometimes I forget, like, you meet people and, like, they don't have that same fucked up sense of humor, or they might not find that shit fucking funny. That just kind of shows you, like, yeah, I've been through 6 years of therapy, but, like, I'm still fucked up there. So, I don't know. So, like, I'm intense and I make bad jokes and I'm, you know, I think that sometimes I make people uncomfortable. And I feel like, you know, what I've learned and what I've heard from other people who are autistic, it's kind of like you give off these vibes and people can kind of pick up that there's something different about you because we're fucking animals, dude. Like, I mean, we drive around in cars and we wipe our asses, but like we're animals at the end of the day. And so like, I don't think that people really realize how much they pick up intuitively or how much just that they can pick up that somebody is different, even when like they seem quote unquote normal. Right. So a lot of people will, one of the common themes that I've heard from other autistic people is how like people just pick up on the fact that you're different and they pick on you for no reason. And like a lot of people, especially people who are diagnosed later in life, will have like CPTSD, complex post-traumatic stress disorder. And that makes so much fucking sense because it is very traumatic to grow up when people don't understand you and where people know that you're different and they pick on you for it or they single you out for it. And that's just, it's a traumatic experience. And like, I know that there are people who go, oh, not everything's trauma and blah, 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 and you guys need to be strong. First of all, I see through you. Okay. Those people who will stomp their feet and are the loudest and the fucking blah, 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 either you have never experienced a bad day in your fucking life, not a bad day, but like you've never experienced anything adverse in your fucking life, either that or you are in such denial about the adverse shit that you've experienced that you are now committed to making other people feel bad because they are standing in their power and willing to acknowledge that they've gone through some fucked up shit and willing to acknowledge how they're fucked up and the work that it takes to kind of undo the damage that's not their fault, right? Like it's either you've never gone through shit or you are in denial and projecting and taking it out on the people around you. But it is, it's kind of like a traumatic thing to kind of grow up that way. But it's one of those things where after getting diagnosed and after realizing that about myself, it wasn't something like I had a former friend who saw it as, she didn't see it as a negative, but I could tell that she, when I spoke about it, it was very much like she was trying to comfort me on it or trying to make me feel better about it because she saw it as like a negative. And a lot of people see it as a negative, and it is kind of a negative because it is a disability and disabilities are what? Disabling. But like it is also when you discover something about yourself that's been disabling you your whole life, right? Where it's been an issue for you your whole life, where you've struggled your whole life with something. And then to discover that you're not broke. I mean, well, maybe some people you might be broken, but like to discover that you're not, it's not that you're wrong. It's just that you're different and doing things differently helps you and it's better for you and it's what you need and it's what, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't something that was negative. It was like, my whole life makes sense. Oh my fucking God. Oh my God. My whole life makes sense and everything's great. Not everything's great, but like, oh my God, now I can figure out how to kind of accommodate this and move around it. And let me tell you something, when you figure out what the fuck is wrong with you and you take the steps to help yourself, oh my fucking God, it makes such a difference. It makes such a difference. It makes such a difference. And so there are people online who will get mad and be like, oh, suddenly everyone's autistic. Suddenly everyone has this shit. People are self-diagnosing. Let me tell you something. If a person is struggling in any type of way and they find a diagnosis or a criteria or whatever the fuck that makes sense to them, or if maybe they haven't gotten an official diagnosis, but they go, you know what? I think I might have this. Let me operate and let me change my life. Let me move through my life as if I do have this and see what happens. And if they move through their life as if they do have this and they make the accommodations and they notice the difference that it makes for them, the improvement that it makes for them, it's not a bad fucking thing. It's not a negative thing that they are autistic or that they have ADHD or whatever the fuck it is. Like, we all have to function. And if somebody finds something, if someone figures out a way to function, let's fucking clap for them. Let's clap. I was going to do an accent, if you could tell, but then I didn't do it. I didn't commit to the bit. But I'm ranting and raving. So let me go talk about something else. I've lost weight, guys. And if you guys listen to the other show, and if you guys know me, like, disordered eating is something that I've struggled with. Not now, which is like so freeing, but like before, because I grew up, like, I was always a chubby child, and like I grew up in a neighborhood where people didn't look like me. And so like I got bullied a lot, and that made, you know, growing up not so fucking fun. So when you grow up a certain way and you look a certain way, your attitude and your opinion towards food very changes, and it very quickly can become unhealthy due to other people's pressure and their bullying and their assumptions about you as a person. And so even when you're doing things right and you actually are healthy, you make really irresponsible decisions because you think that what you're doing isn't right, only to discover that what you are doing is fine. And sometimes people are just built different. When you grow up that way and you have people that are constantly kind of like making comments about your body and just saying shit to you and kind of not being very nice about it, your relationship with food goes from something that keeps you alive and is also delicious, but keeps you alive, to like being like your sworn fucking enemy, because it's the thing that's making all these people hate you and treat you like shit and make fun of you and be cruel to you and be nasty to you, be mean to you. Like, so it becomes, you develop a fucked up relationship with food. And so from like 2000 and fucking, well, I can't even say from 2012, because realistically the idea was percolating in my head from like 6 years old, but I could never really execute it, or I didn't really know that it had proof. And then I had gotten sick. I'm always getting sick. I shouldn't say that. I'm not always getting sick, but in the past I had a lot of digestive issues. And so I had gotten really bad indigestion and heartburn. I had developed GERD. And after developing GERD, it was like, is it GERD? I don't know. But I had gastro, and I was getting acid reflux, right? I had acid reflux, and I had lost a bunch of weight because I couldn't eat properly, because I was if you've had indigestion, like, you know, like, just, it just, like, you just feel so full, and like the acid in your throat, it just, like, it just fucking sits up there. Once I had noticed such a difference from not eating, or not eating how I normally was eating, and it wasn't like I was weighing myself, it was more like I had gone to the doctor and I was like 30 or 35 pounds less than I was the last time I was there. And so I was like, oh, that actually fucking worked. And so then I just stopped eating. And so from like 2012 to 2015 were like the real, like, nitty gritty, like, bad. Like, I would go multiple days without eating. I think the longest I'd ever gone without eating was 5 days. And I just don't do that. Don't starve yourself. Don't, because you know what happens when you starve yourself? Jump scare. Are you ready for the jump scare?
This is what happens. You see that? You see those teeth in the back missing? You see that? And you see these right here? Right there, right there? Right here. You see all those teeth right here? They're all fake.
No, not the ones in the front. The ones in the back? Those are all crowns. Those are all crowns because my teeth literally crumbled to nothing. They crumbled to nothing. These, especially the ones that had to be pulled, crumbled. I remember, this is disgusting, but I remember when I was getting them pulled and like he had to pull them out in pieces, like they crumbled to nothing. So like, if you see people and that you don't like their body, don't say anything. Leave them alone. Because you know what happens? They starve themselves for years and they have to spend thousands of dollars to get their teeth fixed. And deal with the fact that now I have to get dental implants and now I have crowns, and people will tell me, people look at me, like, even on camera, you see my teeth and you're like, you don't have bad teeth. Your teeth are nice. They're white. They're really white. Your teeth are so white, blah, blah, blah. My fucking, those are the skeletons in my closet, my bad fucking teeth in the back, my molars from fucking here back, you know, crowns up here, crowns down here. I gotta get implants. But don't do that. If you don't like, if you see someone online, you go, oh, they're kind of fat, or oh, look at their body. You think that to yourself, you go, oh, whatever. And you keep moving. You see someone in public, you don't fucking like, you don't like their body, you think they're too fat, you think they're too big, whatever. Oh, think that, shut the fuck up. Leave them alone. Don't say shit, because you know what? People are fighting their own fucking battles. And even when I was getting bullied and made fun of, I was still struggling. Because I used to work in retail. And there was a high school across the street. And sometimes people will come in and say shit. Or like customers. I had a customer who was rude and racist and didn't want us to help her because I'm black. And the other woman is from El Salvador. And she didn't want us to help her. And then she ended up being like really rude and combative. And then told me to lay off the donuts. And it's like, first of all, I mean, I like donuts. I'm not a donut person. But like, it's not, donuts didn't get me here. Okay, first of all. But like, just don't say shit to people. Like, you don't know what people are going through. You don't know what battles they're facing. I remember, like, for me, it was like, I used to try to go as long as possible without eating. Like, dead ass. Like, especially before I started working and, like, when I was, like, when I first moved here, when it was, like, at its, the time where I went 5 days without eating, where I was, like, super, super, like, delved into it. Like, I'd wake up in the morning. And I would go, okay, if I can make it, I wake up at like 8 o'clock, between 7 and 8. And I'd be like, okay, if I can make it until noon without food, I'm good. I'd make it to noon. And I'd say, well, it's more like if I made it to lunch. Right? So, but you know, if you're not eating and you're hungry, lunch is as soon as it's fucking the afternoon. So I'd be like, if I make it to noon, great. If I don't, all right. And I would just try to go as long as possible without eating. And I was like, okay, if I can go as long as possible without eating, and it was just every fucking day. So I'm going to skip breakfast. If I can make it to lunch and skip lunch, great. If I can skip dinner, that's even better. And I would exercise. Like, I was just like, and that does damage to your body. Like, I don't even, like, I know, like, I'm healthy. Like, I'm very healthy. So I'm very great, very, very grateful that I'm healthy, except for my fucking teeth. But like, that does a lot of damage to your body and your internal organs over time. You know, leave people alone. Leave people alone. Okay. But anyway, I say all that to say that I have, when I had gone through that really traumatic breakup, I had gained so much fucking, not so much weight, but I had gone from being like 240 to about 280. So I gained 40 pounds. I gained like 40, 45 pounds. And it's one of those things where I didn't really see it. I felt it. Like, I felt it, but I didn't really feel it. And it was one of those things where all of a sudden my shower felt smaller. And all of a sudden I couldn't squat down the same, you know, and like, I hate, like, it's one of those things where I don't like talking about like the negative aspects of being heavy, because I don't want to give people fire to judge other people or to be critical about other people. But I just know that I had never experienced any kind of weight related limitations in my life until I had gotten, until, you know, to like about, I don't know why, I think it was about a year ago, about a year that I had gotten to the point where I could truly, totally feel. Like, I was telling my friend Kristen, I was like, you know, I mean, I still do need a new mattress, but I was like, I thought that I needed a new mattress. And I was like, oh my God, it's my bed. And it probably is still my bed, but I got like a mattress topper and everything. And it wasn't, and I'm now, it's fine. My back doesn't hurt. Nothing hurts. Nothing, it's fine. And it wasn't that, I mean, I still need a new mattress, but like, I was so heavy that like, it was just, I could, like, my body, like the weight of my body was just really pushing into the mattress and causing me like a lot of pain. So it wasn't necessarily like my bed, like the bed itself. It was the fact that I was very heavy, and it was an old mattress. I've had it for years. But like, I've had it for 10 years. So it is time to switch it up. But the pain that I was feeling wasn't necessarily because of the mattress, because I don't feel that pain anymore. It was because my body was so heavy. And so I had ended up losing I've lost about 60 pounds this last year, and I was able to lose it just because, and it wasn't even because I wanted to lose weight. It was more so like, I was concerned for my health. Like, it was like, cause I was eating like shit. It wasn't like I was just heavy. Like, I was literally, I binged ate for 2 years straight. Like, anything I wanted to eat, I ate it. If I wanted to eat a fucking pint of ice cream 3 times a week, I ate it. If I wanted to eat. I literally ate whatever the fuck I wanted, whenever the fuck I wanted. It didn't matter if it was 4 o'clock in the morning, if I'm getting up. And I realized now that it was because I was really depressed and I was really going through it. It was just, I have never ate like that before in my life. And so I had gained so much weight. And I was having like weird symptoms, and it was just the emotional effect of what I had gone through was now taking its toll physically, and I wasn't sleeping and all this kind of stuff. And so like one of the things I wanted to do was, I was like, you know what? I feel my body not doing well. Like I could just feel like, I just felt, I was tired. Boy, I wasn't sleeping, but I just didn't feel I didn't feel right. I felt sick. Like I didn't feel good. And so I was like, you know what? Let me change my habits. And so I just started to slowly change my habits and change my diet. And it wasn't even like I was trying to lose weight. It was more so like, I just want to feel better. And I know that the food that I'm eating right now is not good and I need to eat better food. And so I just did that. And then I started walking every day. And now here I am a year later and I've lost 60 pounds. And I probably, if I took it seriously, I probably could have lost 100 pounds. But you know, that wasn't my intention. And it's weird because to spend most of your life, if not all of your life, with the intention of losing weight and never really being able to do it, and then to lose such a large amount of weight and not really be trying is just, it's very interesting. And because that wasn't my intention, I didn't go into it with the intention to lose a bunch of weight. I didn't take any like before photos. I didn't take progress pictures. I didn't take anything. And so like, but now I still feel like I'm 60 pounds heavier. And it's just, it's a weird kind of thing. And I know that it's just in my head, especially because like the shorts I'm wearing right now, I have a hair tie to tie them because they don't fit anymore. Like the clothes that didn't fit me before, like I had this pair of pajamas that my mom had got me for Christmas one year and I couldn't fit them. And I was like upset because they were really cute. And so like that was the pajamas that like if people came over, like that, I would go, oh yeah, you have an extra pair of pajamas? Oh yeah, here wear these. Because I couldn't fit them, and now I can fit them, and now I can wear them comfortably. And that is one of those things where it's like, okay, I know that I've lost weight because I can now fit comfortably into clothes, like old clothes and like other clothes I used to have that used to fit don't fit me anymore. And I can see it like when I look at old photos of myself and like how I look now, but I don't know. When I look in the mirror, I don't see it. I guess that's what I'm saying. And it's just, I don't know. It's weird. So I'd gone to Target, right? I'm a Target girly. And one of the reasons why I prefer Target over to Walmart is because like Walmart always has everything fucking locked up. Like everything's locked up. Not all the Walmarts, but like certain Walmarts. Wow. Certain Walmarts, like everything is fucking locked up. And it's like, all right, like I get people are stealing, but like, let's be fucking for real, right? So I had gone to a Target near me and they hadn't always had like the soap and the hygiene products and the toothpaste. The fucking toothpaste, bro. They had locked up the fucking toothpaste and they hadn't always had everything locked up. And so like when I had gone there and saw shit was locked up, I wanted to walk out, like, but I didn't because I remembered the color of my skin. And I was like, I come here often and I don't want them to think that like, this is fucked. This is racism. You know, I'm not a shoplifter, but like, it's one of those things where it's like, I had to go, oh fuck. They're going to think that they're going to see me on the cameras. Their loss prevention team is going to see me on the cameras, come in, see things are locked up and walk out of the store. And like, you know, that just says, oh, okay, that tells a story, right? That those actions tell a story of like, if you see something locked up and then you walk out. I mean, maybe I was just overthinking it. I was very much overthinking. So I stayed and I fucking bought shit because I was like, fuck. But that was something in my thought. I was like, girl, you're black. You cannot just walk out like this. You need to buy your shit and go. I was like, fuck it. I was like, I just won't go to that particular one. And I assumed because of the location, because on a very popular and busy street, that's why that they had locked shit up, because they probably get a lot of people who are taking hygiene items. But at the same fucking time, it's like, if a bitch needs to wash her pussy, let her take the soap. Let him wash his balls. I don't even know why I'm using people's genitalia, but like, let people wash their genitals, dude. Like, I don't, let people buy deodorant, let people steal soap. Let people steal fucking toothpaste. They need to brush. These are necessary items. Like, these aren't items of like, it's not a Game Boy. A Game Boy. What am I fucking? It's not a DS. It's not a fucking, it's not electronics. If somebody is stealing these things, they are stealing them out of necessity. It's not out of whatever reason. It's either necessity or compulsion, and either way, let them have it, right? You know? So I had gone to a different Target and things weren't locked up. And I was like, oh, okay. So maybe it's just this particular one because of the location and da 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 da, whatever. So I had gone to another Target. Can you tell I'm a Target hopper? I mean, I live in LA, they're everywhere. But like I had gone to this Target and they were locked up. And when I had gone to the other one, somebody, because the one that I went to, it's like a small little one. They came very quickly. It wasn't like when they had to unlock the soap and shit, it wasn't like that big of a deal. But this other one that I had gone to in Northridge, they took forever to come and unlock the things. And it made me so fucking mad because it's just like, all right, you're not only are you this multi-billion dollar corporation, and like I understand that you guys got to make your profits or whatever, but like I don't understand, but I do understand, whatever. But it's kind of one of those things where it's like, money isn't even fucking real, dude. And you guys are already making such inconceivable amounts of money that I'm sure the amount of money that comes from people shoplifting soap and toothpaste and mouthwash and all that fucking shit, like I'm sure that amount it pales in comparison to the bullshit that companies spend money on, right? Like I know. Like, you know, I still love Target. I still go to Target, but like, come on, let's be fucking for real. So it's just like, not only are you trying to protect such a small, minuscule amount of money in the grand scheme of things, but now you're stealing my time. You are now stealing my time from me in order to recoup your corporate losses. And that shit made my fucking blood boil, dude. I'm sitting there and I'm waiting, and I'm a very patient person. So like, I'm not waiting impatiently. I know where to fucking be. I'm just like, this was my plan for the day, you know, to go to Target and run my errands and do my shit. So it wasn't like I had anywhere important to be or I was in a rush, but just the fact of like, I am now, my time is now being taken from me because I have to wait for this person. Not just my time, but the workers' time, right? Because now they have to come from wherever they are, whatever they were doing, because clearly they were doing something. They were busy, or else they would have come right away. So it's like, it's not just cutting into my time, it's cutting into the workers' time, and like they have to come and unlock and do and walk and whatever. It's like you are stealing time in order to recoup your corporate losses from people who are hit hard by the financial gouging that's been happening and this fake inflation that's been happening and the raising of the prices by these corporations. And it's just made me so fucking angry because it's like, not only have you created the problem, but you are now solving the problem that you created by stealing my time from me, dude. Because now I gotta fucking sit here and I gotta wait for this person to unlock this case, and you're stealing this person's time. Well, not really. I mean, maybe not because they're on the clock and they're getting paid and they're doing whatever, but still, you're stealing their time. You're stealing time now. You are now stealing time because people can't afford to pay the prices that you've raised for no fucking reason. So you're just stealing. Like you're just stealing. Like you're just stealing. You little thieves. You're just fucking stealing because now you are literally stealing my time. Oh my goodness. But that shit pissed me off and made me angry, and it frustrated me because it's just like, I would understand if it was like different kinds of items, you know, like if it was like more less needs and more want kind of items, you know, like if it was something like that, I think I would understand it a little bit more. But like the fact that it was soap, Dove soap, toothpaste, my fucking Sensodyne, because I got these fucking, just talked about how my teeth were fucked up. But it's products that people need to participate in the world and just to feel fucking human, to clean yourself, to be able to brush your teeth, to be able to wash your asshole. Like it's like, and shampoo and fucking mouth. It's just like, oh my fucking God. And the razors and just like, I mean, hair removal is necessary because, you know, I mean, I shaved the other day. I'm not a big shaver. I mean, I used to be, right? For probably most of my life, I was very much like not anti body hair on other people, but very much anti body hair on myself. But after being single for, you know, almost 3 years, it's just kind of like, I don't give a fuck. I shaved my armpits recently and everything else recently because I needed to. But like, you know, I'm not going crazy. I'm not obsessively shaving, even if I have company. Okay. Even if there's someone knocking on the chamber door, you know, it'll be trimmed up, but you know, I'm leaving the hair. I don't give a fuck. If they're stubble, they're stubble. I don't know what to tell you. But like, I had gone to a wedding recently, and I mean, no one could see my armpits because I wasn't putting my armpits up, but like, I was going to shave. Like, I'd showered before the wedding, and I was like, oh, let me shave my armpits. And then I was like, you know what? I don't give a fuck. I'm grown. I'm a grown bitch. And what does a grown bitch do? A grown bitch grows some fucking hair. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to leave my armpit hair. And my armpit hair was long as fuck. I shaved it the other day, but it was fucking long. I hadn't shaved it in probably about a month, maybe a month and a half at that point. So it had grown. The hair had grown. There was hair. There was hair there. Locking up personal hygiene, especially in the times that we're in right now, it's just so evil. It's evil. And I know that it's not personal. And I know that people are just every single everybody is just doing what they can. But like, it's just, you know, let them steal the soap. And it's not like, and if it was like a small independent store, and if it was somebody who was making the soap by hand and dealing with the chemical burns from making the soap and all the, it's not, it's a corporation. They're corporations. Like, let's be so fucking for real, you know, let's be fucking for real and let people steal soap. Let the people wash their asses. All right. What else am I going to talk about? This is kind of all over the place. I don't fucking know how it's going to sound and if I'm even going to use any of this footage. We shall see. So everyone's talking about like Brittany Renner, and people are always talking about this poor woman because she's has the nerve to be herself, essentially. But I guess she had talked about like how many men she had slept with, which was not a lot, okay, by any means, especially if you are a whore like myself. I heard that number and people are like, oh my God, that's a lot of people. And I was like, oh. I went, Oh, okay. this is, all right. I guess I live on a different planet. I clearly live in a whole different world from a lot of people because I heard that number and went, okay, that's about average. Well, it's not, apparently. But like, people are so fucking annoying. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, we all fuck, dude. We're all horny as fuck. Like, how did we get here? We all got here because somebody was, genitals were touching. And it's just kind of like, let it fucking go. Grow up. Grow the fuck up. If somebody you know has 100 bodies, fuck it. Who gives a fuck? You know, let them fuck. As long as they're being safe, be safe. Be fucking safe, guys. Be safe. But have fun. But be safe. Okay? Be safe, but have fun. Have fun. Have fun, but be safe. So genuinely be safe. Let's just, but anyway, but everyone's talking about it. And like, I'm very open about my sexual preferences and I'm very open about just sex in general. And if you know me and we are related, like, just, you didn't hear this. Fast forward or mind your business. You know what I mean? Like, don't bring it up to me. Don't let me know that you've perceived this conversation. Okay. But like, I'm very open sexually because I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like, I've never seen sex as a bad thing. You know, I've was always taught from the lens of be safe, be responsible, get tested, but like, and make sure the people that you're sleeping with unprotected are tested, but and also protected. But you know, I don't know. I've never been like a prude about sex or weird about sex. And so to see people kind of spiral over an adult woman having 35 partners, grow up. I, you know what? I'm going to get real close to the camera when I say this. Okay. My microphone is falling. I'm going to hold it with my other hand. My titties are out and they're looking a little long because they are. Grow the fuck up. Genuinely. Grow the fuck up. Grow up. If you don't want to be a whore, okay, if you don't want to be like the rest of us Jezebels, that's fine. If you want to have sex with one person for the rest of your life, fantastic. If you are a virgin and you're 40 years old because you're waiting for that right person, I love that for you, okay? But grow the fuck up. Grow the fuck up when it comes to other people and what they're doing. Mind your own box. mind your own box, dude. That's it. That's it. Just mind your own fucking box. Grow up. Grow the fuck up. You know, if it's not for you, if 35 dudes is not for you, if 40 dudes is not for you, if 45, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 125, if that's not for you, that's fine. That's not for you, that's fine. But it's for somebody else, you know? Shut the fuck up. Grow up. Grow up. But I do talk about sex. I mean, I talked about it more on the other show, obviously. But, like, I'm very open. I'm very, very open when it comes to sex. I'm very, I don't know. And I think especially because, like, I know for some, like, I had spoken about, kind of about this before, but, like, energy, sex is energy, and it's, and you can kind of feed off of it, and you, there's an energy there that's palpable that you can absorb into your body, and you can feel it, and it is, honestly, and maybe I have a problem. I don't have a problem. I was celibate for 2 years, okay? Until very recently, I was celibate for 2 years. So, like, I, you know, but, like, I don't know, there's an energy to sex, and it's wonderful, and it's fantastic, and I love it. I love it. I think that everyone should be fucking as much as possible, safely. Like, I had watched this, all right, ladies, or anybody who's having sex, honestly. But I had seen this video of this on TikTok, and this person was like, oh, she had shared what she, like, brought back home, or, like, what she had got in each country, because she was, like, traveling in Europe, and what she had got in each country. And, like, she's like, oh, I got a yeast infection in Italy. And I was like, hey, okay. I'm watching the video. I'm scrolling through the slides. And then I guess, like, she had gotten knocked up by somebody else. And, like, let's just, and I've seen other videos of, like, people just kind of talking about, like, their hookups and, like, have fun. I was a whore. And I can't talk because back in the day when before my frontal lobe was developed, I engaged in risky behavior. We all do it. We've all done it. No one's perfect. No one's, you know, we're all human. We make mistakes. We do shit. We don't think about it, you know, and it's not until the consequences. Some people will never, ever face consequences for the reckless behavior, and some people will face them immediately. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like we're all different. Everything happens with everybody differently. But, like, please, for the love of God, please, 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 please use protection. Okay. Wrap it up. Use protection. Get tested regularly. Know your status. Just know. Get tested. Let's have as much fun as you want to. But let's be responsible. Let's not bear back strangers. You know, I know when we're young, it happens. But if once that lobe develops, come on, guys. I'll watch videos and people will tell, or I'll just hear people tell stories. And I'm like, oh, what's her name? What's the woman? Sabrina? Oh, I'm like, oh, so we're bareback and strangers. We are having unprotected sex with people that we do not know at all. Let's not do that. And, like, even though, and I feel like that's kind of a rejected thing to say, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, because if you think about STD rates or STI rates, I should say, and the amount of people who contract an STI while they are in a long-term monogamous relationship, or what they assume to be monogamous, is probably most, I feel like more people contract something in a relationship than they do being risky. But, like, let's just, if you're a cheater, okay, if you are somebody who cannot control themselves, if this is how you cope with your trauma, you're addicted to sex, you're whatever it is, I'm not gonna judge you. We've all been there, right? I mean, not all of us. I would never cheat on somebody. No judgment. But, like, I've never cheated. But, like, if you are currently sticking your genitals or allowing other people to stick their genitals inside of you, and you know that you are in a committed relationship with somebody else, just be safe. Be safe. Don't do it at all, right? Because cheating is fucking not a good thing to do. And it affects people on a deep cellular level. And it affects their self-esteem for life. Not for life, but it'll affect it for a long period of time. It gives them trust issues. It's traumatic. It's abusive. It's abusive, okay? Especially if you're a serial cheater, it's abusive. just be safe, dude. Use condoms. And I know condoms don't protect against everything. Okay. I know they don't protect against everything. They don't protect against skin to skin things, but like, let's be as responsible as possible. And if we are doing dirt, you know, if we're going to walk in some muddy waters, guys, wear a rain boot. First, put on some rain boots, put on a raincoat, just be responsible, get tested as often as possible. Ladies, 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 please, please, these men don't get tested. These men don't get tested. If you have sex with men, be careful. They do not get tested. They don't get tested. Okay. They say they get tested. They lie. They go, oh yeah, I got tested. And the man says to you, yeah, I just got tested last week.
No,
he didn't. He could have. Maybe he did. Maybe he was being reckless. Maybe he had a burn and he got a little scared. But like, see the paperwork, right? Ladies, ladies, you know, everybody who has sex with men, gays, everyone. Check the paperwork, right? Get the paperwork. If you can't get the paperwork, that's use protection, you know? The next best thing is a barrier method, okay? So let's be honest. Let's be responsible. Let's be safe. Let's use dental dams, okay? Even when giving oral sex, you guys, a lot of people don't think about STDs when it comes to giving and receiving oral sex. Let's be responsible. If you get cold sores, I get cold sores, disclose them. You tell people you get cold sores so they can make the decision for themselves. Because the ones up here, herpes is herpes, okay? It goes everywhere. It doesn't matter if it's upstairs, if it's downstairs. If you get them upstairs, you go someone's downstairs. If you go downstairs on somebody, okay? So let's just disclose cold sores. Let's use condoms. Let's be safe. Let's be as safe. But, you know, but this is especially, this, I feel like this is more specifically, this is more geared towards women. And I feel like it's more geared towards women because I feel like with the AIDS epidemic and the AIDS, you know, the 80s and the 90s, and that's still happening now, obviously. But like, I feel like when it comes to getting tested, a lot of people think that just because they're not engaging in quote unquote high risk behavior, right? That they're not at risk, but anyone who has sex with anybody is at risk for anything at any time. So just keep that in mind and just be responsible and be safe. And if you are a woman who has sex with men, just be careful because they do not get tested. These niggas out here do not get tested. Do not let these pestiferous, is that the word? Pestiferous? Pestiferous? Do not let these pestiferous men touch you. I mean, let them touch you. I mean, yeah. But just do not let them touch you unprotected. Do not let these pestiferous men touch you. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with being a pestiferous person. Like, you know, it is what it is. But like, do not let these pestiferous men touch you. Be responsible. Protect yourself. And I just feel that's just necessary to say, because a lot of people think that you have to be in a certain kind of lifestyle or engaging in certain behaviors. But some of y'all people are engaging in high risk behavior, but don't see it as high risk behavior because it's you doing it and you don't see yourself as a high risk person. But like, just be safe, you know? And I will say it again. Don't let these pestiferous men. Do not let these pestiferous men touch you. Don't let them touch you. I gotta fucking pee so fucking bad. But yes, anyway, I don't even, oh, because we're talking about, we a lot of people. I was talking about Brittany Renner's fucking, her talking about her body count. So now it's fucking, everyone's talking about it and weighing in on it. And it's just like, grow the fuck up. Ooh, okay. Well, this is the last thing I'll talk. Well, last two things. So I'd seen a TikTok video of this woman, and she's telling the story, this young woman, about being in some kind of like class, and her professor is talking about, maybe she's some kind of PR class, I don't know, but she's talking about PR scandals. And I guess in like 2014, so like 10 years ago, this man who worked in the Kellogg's factory urinated on Rice Krispie treats while they were coming down like the assembly line or whatever. And it's like, I thought maybe there would be more supervision or more people paying attention, or I don't know, maybe he did it in a low key way, but he recorded himself doing it. It went down. I don't know all of the details. Maybe I should have done research before talking about it, but he peed, videoed himself peeing, and then uploaded it onto YouTube, but did it after they had already been packaged and sent out. Let me tell you something. I would have been so upset if I opened up my Rice Krispie and it smelled like piss. Like, and I'm sure people probably, maybe didn't go, I don't know, that I should have done more research before I talked about this. But she had talked about how good, it was a PR class, and they were talking about PR and all this kind of stuff, and how, like, you don't really know, but it's not a big thing that you know about. It's not one of those things where it's like, oh my goodness. I don't fucking know what would compel someone to do something. And I know, and I looked in his eyes, and I know what compelled him to do it. Like, I'm not going to diagnose somebody. But, like, I could look in his eyes and see that there was some kind of disorder going on, personality variety. I just, oh, God. But can you believe that? I don't even know how I would react. I would be very upset. And I wonder if anyone ate it. Did they actually go out? Did anybody, you know what? Let me see. Kellogg's P. Rice Krispies. Rice Krispie. Man urinates on. Okay, so I Googled man urinates, and the first thing that pops up is urinates on fellow passengers. So now I gotta Google that. Oh my. If somebody pissed on me, and not in like a fun, sexy way, I would go to jail. Like, you can catch me in a mugshot, because I would be so distraught and just disgusted. But I would be inconsolable. Oh my. And there's so many stories about people getting urinated on passengers on flight. Oh my God. 2015, an Oregon man faces charges after he urinated on a passenger. 2021, a man urinated on a fellow passengers because he wasn't allowed to smoke. A man urinates on fellow passenger during flight to Japan. Why? This is an epidemic. Why is it so common? Why? Shirtless man kicked off a plane after urinating on fellow passenger in 2016. In 2023, in March, he was urinating on a passenger on American Airlines from a flight from New York to New Delhi. I'm squeezing the cup. I am disgusted. I am angered. Why is this shit? I have fucking water in my shirt. This should not be common. This should not be a thing. This should be a one-time thing. But I don't even, because I was Googling, man urinates on Rice Krispies. On rice cooker. On rice. There's too many men urinating places. Put it away. In 2014, a man recorded himself urinating on a conveyor belt of Rice Krispies. He waited 2 years. I didn't know that part. See? He waited 2 years. I thought he did it like the next week. He waited. I've eaten Rice Krispies. Oh, I mean, I'm sure it probably smelled. He waited 2 years to upload the video online. The products were distributed to customers and presumably consumed. He went to jail and had to pay a fine and all this kind of stuff. Oh my goodness. And like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's not funny. But it's one of those things where it's like, I'm sure that somebody in that time frame, because he waited 2 years to upload it. So it's just kind of like, I'm sure that somebody in that time frame probably opened up the Rice Krispies and were like, and either smelled it or took a bite or ate it and was like, you know, that kind of tastes like piss. Like, that kind of does not taste. Ugh. Can you imagine? I would be inconsolable. I would be devastated. I would be, especially like, I mean, I guess it's a good thing that their PR team kind of did a good job at hiding it, because I feel like, what if somebody smelled it and was like, oh, it's just in my head, or oh, this just kind of tastes funny, and they kind of like let it go and was like, oh, maybe it went bad, or maybe it's a bad batch. That's one hell of a bad batch. I'm telling you that shit right fucking now. And because I saw this video on TikTok, and it has like probably like millions of views by now. So I wonder, like, people thinking back to like when they... Can you imagine being a person who opened up Rice Krispies back in 2016, 2004, whenever the fuck this was, and opened it up, smelled it, thought it smelled weird, thought it tasted funny, ate it anyway, or maybe ate one and threw it away, was like, oh, I got a bad batch, whatever. They're having a nice relaxing evening at home. They're, maybe it's not relaxing, right? Or maybe they're just fucking sitting there and they're scrolling. They're scrolling on TikTok like we all fucking do. Can you imagine the realization? You ate a piss-covered Rice Krispie treat. And then not only the realization, but knowing that it smelled funny or that it tasted funny and you ate it anyway, thinking, oh, it's fine. And it was the piss of a grown man. It was the urine of a grown man who was very sick in the head. Oh my fucking God. I would... Questions related to your search. Did Kellogg apologize for Rice Krispie treats urination? Battle Creek based company Kellogg apologized to customer over a video. And so this happened in 2014. The video surfaced in 2016. And now all these articles about him being persecuted and shit are from 2018. And Homegirl's video is from 3 days ago. And it's one of those things that it was so under the radar that whoever did it is probably like, all right, well, no one really, I mean, it really wasn't that under the radar because I saw a Daily Mail article about it. So people knew. It just wasn't widely known. Should I watch the video? I'm going to watch the video because now I'm fucking curious to what he peed on. And did he pee on the treats or just on the conveyor belt? Let's see. Oh, I mean, it's not, oh, but he's not. Okay. So the way that I have pictured it happening, the way that I set the scene in my head was that he, the little treats were coming down the conveyor, the little bars, the little squares were coming down the conveyor and he's just peeing on them as they're fucking just coming down. He's just peeing on the conveyor belt. So like, if you ate Rice Krispie treats between 2014 and 2016, and we probably all have, we see maybe it got wiped down or maybe the urine was dry or maybe it had dripped off enough. So it's a touch of urine. It's the smallest amount of urine that could have been possibly consumed by people, which is a good thing. I'm not, you know, so scratch just everything that I just fucking said. but... I've been going for 2.5 hours. So apparently I can fucking go. I just don't know how it's going to sound or what it's going to fucking look like or anything. So we'll fucking see. Anyway, I'll wrap this up. Thank you so much for listening. Please take the time to, you know, if you listen to me on Apple Podcast, take the time to leave. If you really listen, if you really enjoy it, leave a 5-star review, leave a 5-star rating and a little bit of a review, you know? So yes. Anyway, I guess that's it. For right now, I mean, I say that's it. Like I've been going for fucking almost 3 hours, dude. For 3 hours I've been sitting here talking to myself and I probably won't even use all of this. Well, I definitely won't because it's long as fuck. But thank you for listening.